All right. Thanks again for tuning in. This is, I believe, the seventh and, at least for this series, the final in this conversation we've been having specifically about fasting. My name is Jason Pagel. I'm one of the ministers here at Harpeth Hills Church of Christ. And we as a church family has been on a journey through kind of the Lenten season, preparing ourselves for Easter, which at this point in this recording is just about 10 days away. And we've been doing these podcasts about fasting to try to help engage and prepare and continue to talk about with a church family, a local church family, the process and experience of fasting. And we've talked with anyone from Dave Clayton, who's a minister at Ethos Church, to our own Harold Bigham, who is a former professor of law and very well-known and intellectually elite man, and Tanya Hunt and her incredible perspective on some of this, and David Flo, one of our shepherds, and we've had a lot of different kinds of conversations. I know I'm forgetting some. Hannah George, of course, and her perspective last week. And this time, I get a chance to sit down with one of our young people. When we talked about having these conversations, I asked some of our staff members, hey, give me some names of some people that you think might be good to talk about fasting. And Elisha Latta's name came up. Elisha, you'll hear, is 12 years old. He watched his parents experience fasting and decided, I want to try that. And I'll sit down with him and have a conversation, and you're going to be blessed by his responses to some of these questions. What a just fantastic young man. Listen in to what he has to say, Elisha Latta, about fasting. All right, so Elisha, have you ever fasted before? What's fasting like?
So the first time I fasted was last year, mm-hmm. and I fasted from desserts and sweets, and it was really hard. But this year I'm doing that again because it was hard. So
what made you decide to want to fast last year? What was it about it that you said, I want to try that?
Well,
'cause that seems like something that, how old are you?
12.
12 years old. So it seems like something a 12-year-old would say, I don't want to stop eating sweets. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, I saw my parents doing it, and I was like, well, I want to try this. And so I tried it, and it was really hard, but I knew that I needed to be craving the Lord more than I did a bowl of ice cream or something.
Wow, what a perspective. Wow, that's really wise. So you've watched your parents fast some?
Yes.
What was that like? Have they done that for a long time? You're kind of talking about your parents behind their back, but what did you notice when they were doing it that made you go, oh, I want to do that too?
Well, I noticed that they were sort of just, I felt like they were doing it because they wanted to be able to, like I said a minute ago, they wanted to crave the Lord more than they did food or something. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do that too. Oh, that sounded wrong.
Yeah, no, that's good. You saw that and you thought, yeah, I want to do that as well. I want what they have. And I think there's something really beautiful about that. So how long? So you did it for the first time last year for Lent, for the same kind of thing?
Yes.
At this time of year? So was it for 40 days or whatever it is for the all of Lent you did it?
Well, I don't think I like did it perfectly the whole year.
There's no
the
perfect.
The whole 40 days.
Yeah. But it was a long time.
It was hard.
Yeah.
I was kind of mind blown about how Jesus did it for 40 days without any food.
Without any food, I know. That's crazy to even think about. And once you've done something like that, even if it was just, if it was sweets and not, like you said, all of food, then when it says that Satan came and tempted him and said, hey, make those stones into bread, you can see why that would be tempting, you know, where you'd be like, yeah, I could do that. I'm really hungry.
Yeah, like, I feel like if I was out in the wilderness and I could make something into bread and I hadn't eaten for 40 days, I would definitely probably make some bread.
You'd be tempted to make some bread. I think I would too. So, okay, so you started doing this last year for Lent and you gave up all sweets. Do you eat sweets a lot? Do you have a sweet tooth?
I just eat a lot of sweets after dinner.
Gotcha. You like some dessert after dinner. What's your favorite dessert?
I like mint chocolate chip ice cream.
So you didn't have any mint chocolate chip ice cream because you wanted to crave God more than you wanted to crave mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Yes.
Did you ever cheat? Did you ever go, well, maybe I'll just have a little bit?
On Saturdays is my cheat day.
Yep, I'm the same way. Gotcha. So, but you were able to do it, and it was really hard.
Yes.
And then after that, this is what I'm even more intrigued by. So the fact that I guess you were at 11 when you first did it.
Yes.
So the fact that an 11-year-old was like, I'm going to try this because I saw my parents do it. But then you did it for a long time, and you realized it was really hard, and now you decided to do it again. Why did you decide to do it again?
Well, mainly because I wanted to sort of honor the Lord, because, that's a hard question.
No, it's good. What have you noticed? Have you noticed anything about either doing it last year or doing it this year where it did help you with the way that you see Jesus or the way that you interact with God?
Well, it kind of is like I've been a little more mindful for the past year, like I'm just not like just wanting to know Jesus and have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. It sort of started that for you, and you became a lot more... I love that word, mindful. It's kind of a churchy word, though. I don't say mindful very much, but I hear what you're saying. You're very aware of God and wanting more of him and paying attention. And so then it comes to this year, and you said, I'm going to do that again because I saw how it affected me last year.
Yes.
So are you going to finish up at Easter? Is that the plan?
Yes, I think it is Easter, because that should be 40 days from Ash Wednesday.
From Ash Wednesday, yeah, that's my plan too. So I've been trying to figure out, somebody asked me this the other day, am I going to finish on Easter? Like, is that the first dessert you're going to have is Easter Day, Easter dinner, or what, have you thought about it? What are you going to do?
I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that yet. But for the first 20 days of this fast, I was just taking away sweets and I wasn't, like, adding anything, like, of the Bible or something. So for the last 25 days, I'm trying to, like, read the Bible every day. Because, like, I have this little promise calendar with verses on it for every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I just try to do that every day. So I'm, like, actually taking something in place of sweets or whatever you're fasting from.
Oh, Elisha, that's so good. So incredible. The first one of these I did was to talk with a friend of mine named Dave Clayton. I don't know if you know who Dave
is. Like Calvin's dad.
Yeah. Well, no, that's Rogers Clayton. Dave Clayton is a preacher who is a part of a church called Ethos, and he's come and spoken here a couple times. You'd probably recognize his face, but he talked about his experience of fasting, and he talked about there's abstaining, which is what you're doing, where you take away something, you abstain from something, you say, I'm not going to have desserts, or I'm not going to have whatever it is. For me, it's been hot tea. That's been one of the things I've been doing, and I love hot tea, and it's been really hard. I want to, you can see the cup right over there on my desk, and I want to reach for it, but he said, so there's abstaining like that,
mm-hmm.
And then he said, there's abiding, and he said, if you only abstain, if you only take something away, but you don't have the abiding part, then you're just sort of miserable. But is it really doing anything? Mm-hmm. But he said, if you replace it, like what you're talking about, where you abide with, you say, God, in place of drinking that tea or eating that dessert or doing this thing, I'm going to do this instead so that I'll be more hungry for you. Like you said, more craving for you. And that's what you're doing. And so you're reading from this calendar, this mm-hmm. Bible verse every day. And do you find yourself thinking about that verse later in the day? Do you ever get reminded of it?
Well, I do it before I go to bed.
Okay.
And I kind of think of it in the morning sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I just like to have it for the day.
Yeah. And maybe you may find yourself, I know this happens to me sometimes, where I'll be reading something like that from the Bible, and then later in the day or the next day or whatever, something will happen. I'll go, man, I just read about that. Like, that reminds me of what I just read about. You
yes.
know, do you ever have that happen sometimes?
And that does happen sometimes.
It's so neat how God uses that, our abstaining and our abiding. And well, man, some people are going to ask, this is an impossible question, Elisha, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Some people are going to listen to this, and they're going to be like, this 12-year-old guy has such wisdom. Like, what 12-year-old young man decides, I'm going to stop eating dessert for a season, for a time, because I want to crave God more than that? Like, I can tell you, Elisha, that as a 12-year-old, I was not saying that. What makes you, how did this happen? How did you become so hungry for God?
Well, my dad has always, whenever he fasts and he wants something, he says, Lord, help me crave you more than I crave, like, blank or
mm-hmm.
whatever you were fasting from.
And you've heard him say that
mm-hmm.
since you were young. I mean,
ever since he's been fasting.
Yeah. And it really has made an impression on you, and you've said, I want more of that.
Yes.
Well, I want to say to you, because I get to, and all the other people who are listening wish they could say it to you right now, but I want to say to you, Elisha, that I'm really inspired by that. I think your willingness to do hard things because you want something even better, to say, I know this is hard, and I'm going to really want to do these things, but there's something or someone that I want even more, and I'm going to do away with this so that I can have this. That maturity is about so much more than just fasting. You know, there, that's about life, you know, where there are all these things that tempt us, that we want to do. And sweets is not a bad thing, right? But to let go of something because you want something better and you want it even more, that maturity is going to produce so much fruit in your life. And I'm inspired by that, that you're, even at your age, saying, this is who I want to be, and this is what I want to be about. And so, man, thank you for taking a little time to talk to me about it. I know that's hard. You're like, oh, what am I going to say on this thing? But thank you for taking some time to do it. And thank you even more for being such an example to me and to our church family of just the pure, innocent, simple, I just want more of God. Whatever it takes to do that, I want more of God. And I trust there's a lot of ways you're doing that. Fasting is just one of them. We happen to be talking about that right now.
Yeah.
So it was a good chance for me to ask you some questions about it. But thanks for what you're doing.
You're welcome.
For what you stand for. Wow. I mean, that's the word for it, right? I hope that you have been as touched and inspired by hearing the voice of one of our young people as he just, as I said, very simply and purely said, I want more of God. And he saw fasting as a tool, as a potential way to live into that more fully. He watched it in his parents. Isn't this what we're supposed to be about as we pass on to the next generation our faith, not just in the things that we say, but in the ways that they see us living out and emulating and hungering for more of God? And you see that and hear that in this young man. And I'm blown away and touched by it. I hope you have been too. This has been such a great journey for our church. And I'd love to hear more about your experience of fasting. If you've been a part of this, if you've been experimenting with this, maybe you've done this for a long time, I'd love to just hear more from you personally on this. I'd invite you to email me if you'd like to, and just tell me a little bit about how you've experienced fasting. And my email is very simple, jasonp, as in Jason Pagel, jasonp@harpethhills.org. And if you want to shoot me an email and just tell me a little bit more about your experience, I'd love to engage in that conversation with you. This has been, I've had some other experiences of fasting. This one has been really beautiful and unique. And while I anticipate Easter and am eager in some ways to re-enter a different rhythm of life, I'm also so thankful for the conversations that we've been having as a church, for this experience of fasting and some of the things that it's already teaching me and the fruit that's being produced through that in my own life. And I'd love to hear maybe a little bit about that for you too. We'll do more of these at some point. I'm sure there are going to be other journeys, but this has been one specific to this year, this season, this Lenten season, preparing a church family for Easter and engaging with one another as we walk along that journey. And what a gift. Thanks for tuning into this. This is the final of those podcasts in this series. Look for more of these at some point in the future on something else. But thanks for tuning into this. We'll see you.